All right. We will be all over the place today. So if you'll get ready to turn or type or whatever you need to in order to get to the different Proverbs, we'll be anywhere from Proverbs 19 to Proverbs 23. So it's not too big of a range. It's not like we're going to be changing books too much, but changing chapters back and forth quite a bit this morning. So this morning, we are going to jump into yet another topic that Proverbs teaches us the wisdom of God about. Last week, we talked about the wisdom that Proverbs gave us in regards to what we say and the words that we interact with, the words that we send to other people, and the words that we hear, and what are we supposed to do in order to make sure that our speech is wise. Today is a very similar, like, format, except for that instead of talking about the words that we say or the words that we write, we are going to be talking about the possessions or the money that God has given to us. Hopefully, if you read Proverbs this week throughout these chapters, you notice, as well as previous chapters and the ones to come, the Proverbs talks a lot about money. So one of the things that oftentimes people give as a prayer request, right? About that God would give us wisdom on our financial situation, or that we would be able to find another job, or in order to afford a certain thing, or to figure out a way to pay for something that we're on the hook for, that we need to pay off. Money is one of the greater topics in our lives that takes up a lot of our time. What are we supposed to do with the money that I have? What am I supposed to do in order to get money that I don't have, but it seems like I need? Do I need this money? Should I give this money? Should I invest this money? Should I get rid of this money? All of these different questions in regards to money. And it does take a whole lot of wisdom in order to know what to do with the money that God has given to us, to the possessions that he has given to us. And some of us are sitting here as I'm talking about this saying, like, well, I don't have that problem because all the money I have is spoken for. I don't have any extra money. I don't have any more than I already need. In Proverbs, Solomon and the other authors that have gotten woven into these couple of Proverbs we read this week talk about wealth and poverty, but the interesting thing is that they don't talk about wealth as the blessing from God and poverty as the curse from God. The first thing, before we even get into the principles of what to do with our money, that we need to understand is that we need to have a right view of our possessions and money, in that it is neither a blessing nor a curse. It is not, if you are poor, then God is being punishing towards you because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Nor, if you are rich, is God blessing you because you are doing what you're supposed to do. Now, with that being said, there are very confusing statements if you were to read some of these verses and just say, well, this is a promise that God made that if I'm wise, I will end up being rich. That's not exactly what Proverbs is teaching. What Proverbs is teaching is if you are wise, you will end up having enough money to manage what you're supposed to be doing, and you will do it better than if you are a foolish person and you are wealthy, but you might end up getting all of your money wasted away in foolishness. So first thing we need to understand is that if you're poor, that doesn't mean God's not on your side. That doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong necessarily. Same goes for the other side of it. Some of us are wealthy, and some of us might have more money than we actually really know what to do with. And that doesn't necessarily mean that God is approving of your life. See, there are four kinds of people, as Proverbs teaches, in relationship to money. First, there are the foolish and wicked poor, who are poor because they are foolish and wicked. And they have reaped what they've sown and now have nothing. Then there is the wicked and foolish rich person who has tons of money and possessions And yet they're living a life on the path of foolishness that leads to death and destruction. But in the here and now, they have whatever they want, whenever they want, as much as they want. And they get to spend their money, their gobs of money, wherever they want. So there are both wicked poor and wicked rich people. On the other side, there is also righteous, wise people who are poor, who don't have much money, who might have barely anything, who might actually need to be taken care of by the church or by some family. But they are not poor because they are evildoers. They are still pleasing to God, and yet God has decided that they do not need a whole bunch of money or possessions or responsibilities. But then in addition to those three people, there's the wealthy person who is also wise and who is living a life on the path of wisdom that leads to life, and they are wealthy and they are being blessed because of their wise decisions. So before we get into what are we supposed to do with the money that we have, first we have to understand that not all of us have the same amount of money or possessions, and that that's not a problem. Because God has not promised, I am going to give you X number of dollars so that you can do X, Y, and Z. And if you do X, Y, and Z, then I'll give you this other amount of money. See, in America, we got this issue where we have people who go around preaching this prosperity gospel that if you give the money in the right place at the right time to the right televangelist, that suddenly God's going to give you all of this gobs of money in return, and then if you invest it back into the televangelist, then you're going to get all this gobs of money back in return. And they twist verses a lot in Proverbs in order to make that the case. We have to understand not all of us are going to have the same amount of wealth, and that our financial status is not necessarily the direct result of whether we are choosing to live wisely or foolishly. Now notice I say the word necessarily, because we can all fall into any one of those four categories. You could, hypothetically, be poor right now because you've made some foolish decisions on what you did with your money, or foolish decisions on what you got yourself obligated to pay when you didn't have the money to pay it. It is very possible, and I would even say plausible, that you might be in gobs of debt, or you might not have much money or much possessions because you're choosing to live against the way God has designed your life to function with money. But that is not to say that some of us might just not have a lot of money. And you're doing the best you can with what you've been given, which is all God has been asking you to do. But just because you are poor doesn't necessarily mean you are foolish. But the principles Proverbs lays out is, if you are foolish with your money, you should expect to become poor or to be in poverty. Even if you start out as being wealthy. Wealthy individuals who poorly spend their money end up being in poverty, is the general principle that is being taught. Now let's talk about some of us who might be wealthy, who might have plenty of money. That does not necessarily mean you are living a life that's pleasing to God. You could be living a life that is dishonest. You could have a lot of money and be spending it foolishly or hoarding it, and that is not pleasing to God either. But you might be wealthy, and you might be wealthy because you are wise with the money that God gave you, and God has decided to bless you with more money because you were responsible. You were wise with spending the money that He has given to you. So, with all of that prerequisite stuff out of the way, no matter if you're rich or poor today, I'm going to give you three, and these are not the only principles in Proverbs specifically, even in this passage, but three principles that I believe that Solomon and the writers in Proverbs are trying to teach you about how you should relate to the money and possessions and responsibilities that God has put in your life, how to wisely relate to money. Now, I want us to understand, Jesus said that you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. And the temptation in our lives is often to have the choice. Am I going to worship and pursue and go after and make my decisions based on what will bring me money or wealth? Or am I going to pursue, worship, and do whatever it takes to be close to God? Jesus said you can't do both. And so we have to choose this path of wisdom that leads to life with God, and how do we relate to money? Or we can choose this path that's foolishness, that leads to death and destruction, that promises us wealth. And here and now, you might end up obtaining wealth. But God has given us his word to tell us, how do we wisely relate to money? Whether we have a little bit of it or have a lot of it, I think that today I'm going to share three principles on how to relate to your money and to avoid having money, material possessions, from becoming an idol or the master that you choose. First, none of these, to be fair, none of these three are going to surprise most of us. These are pretty straightforward principles. We all know that this is what the Bible teaches, but our hearts conveniently forget, or we selectively listen when certain situations pop up in our lives. The first of the principles that I'm going to share with us today is that first, you must earn your money honestly. So if you got your Bible, go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs talks a lot about how it is that you obtain your money. And Proverbs tells us that there are lots of dishonest ways for you to get money. You could choose to be lazy and be given money by people who are foolish enough to be sympathetic to you. You could obtain money by being dishonest and as you will see in Proverbs, by having unjust scales. Meaning, if you're selling something, you have it so that when you weigh it, the scale makes it look like it's heavier than it actually is. I wish everybody was actually here, because I'd like to see hands, because this is a question I've always wanted to know. How many of you actually use the scale at the in the produce section? Or do we just all like, I'm going to buy a pear, and I don't care what it weighs. Okay, some people actually use it. I thought it was fun. Yeah, I thought it was fun when I was a kid. It's really fun to be like, is this a pound? I don't know, right? But in the marketplace of the in Israel, this is how they sold things. Was, you know, it's so much per ounce, and we have a scale, and we put it in there. And people would get money dishonestly by having their scales set so that if they were selling something, it would look heavier than it actually was, and then they would charge people more. Or they would have it so that when people tried to pay them, it would look lighter than it actually did. Proverbs says that all of those things are detestable to the Lord, that honest work is the way that we are to obtain our money. That does not mean that you cannot be gifted money. That does not mean you won't inherit money. That doesn't mean that you will discover something on your land that you did absolutely nothing to do and be able to make money from it. But as a general rule, our relationship with money ought to always be that we worked honestly for it. Not that we tricked someone into paying us extra. Not putting in place, so for some of us who work for employers, working from our desk and not actually doing our job for hours of the day. We ought to make the money that we get honestly. So Proverbs 20, verse 10. Differing weights, varying measures, both are detestable to the Lord. And again in verse 23, differing weights and are detestable to the Lord, and dishonest scales are unfair. This might seem as though like it is not applicable to some of us, because a lot of us are not selling things based on weight. But some of us are going to be giving out bids and estimates, right? Some of us go tell people, well, this is what it's going to cost. And if we allow unfair factors into that decision making about what we are going to charge someone, it is the same as though we are weighing the scales incorrectly. If we go to a place and we see a service that we would provide, and typically we would charge $1,000, but this project is at a house you can tell they are filthy rich, and so we just charge them $2,000 because we know they're not going to ask any questions. That's the exact same thing as selling something on a scale that is improperly balanced. It is not honest. It's the same reason why we get upset about tax codes being weighed against wealthy individuals or not wealthy individuals. Like, we have this inherent part of our life that demands fairness. And in order to be fair, it is not, does not have to be equal. A percent does not always work out in situations. Just because someone can't afford something doesn't mean that you should charge them that. Differing scales could be for those of us who work for employers where, you know, oh, it's Friday, I don't work as hard. On Friday, I spend an extra 45 minutes on breaks because it's dead. There's no one around here. Nobody is coming in and bothering us. When you decide to work differently based on unfair circumstances, it is the same as though you're ripping someone off in a marketplace. And we must work for our money and work honestly. Now, I'm not telling you to, like, you know, some, at my job, Wednesdays are a whole lot harder than Fridays. I'm not saying, like, you have to work as hard, you know, your hardest day every day of the week. I'm just saying, like, if you are being dishonest and gaining money, then you are not to be expecting that that money is going to be coming from God with a blessing. Proverbs 22, verse 16, 22 and 23 also talk about another way of gaining money dishonestly. Proverbs 22:16 says, oppressing the poor to enrich oneself and giving to the rich, both lead only to poverty. 22 and 23 says, don't rob a poor man because he is poor. Don't crush the oppressed at the gate, for the Lord will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them. Here, Solomon is telling us there's another way to get yourself some money, and it's very dishonest. It is to go to the poor people who have no means of defending themselves and weighing them down with obligation to pay you an unfair amount, or to simply steal from poor people because they will have no means by which to get it back. This is like the reverse of what we had mentioned earlier about treating rich people like they can afford something else because they're rich. It's the opposite. There are people who will go to the poor and say, give me all you have, and they will take literally everything that these people in poverty have and then give it to their rich friends or spend it on themselves. And Proverbs warns that if you are going to rip off the poor, you should expect to become poor. It says, oppressing the poor to enrich oneself, giving it to the rich, both lead only to poverty. And why would we expect, if you are wealthy, you end up in poverty just because you happen to take some things from poor people that you did not have an honest reason to demand from them? It's because of the warning over in verses 22 and 23. Don't oppress those by the gate, you know, the poor and invalids. Don't rob a poor man just because he's poor, because God will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them, who plunder the poor. The warning here is to not just abuse those who cannot defend themselves or bring a case against you. You do not treat them unfairly or dishonestly. You do not require them to, you know, buy a service that you know they cannot afford just so that they become enslaved to you. Because if you do, God will be their lawyer. Is that the case you want? I feel like that's the picture that's here. Is it was pretty normal in this day and age to make people pay rent that they couldn't obviously afford, steal all of their money away from them, because then if you took all the money away from them, they wouldn't have a lawyer that would be able to take you to court in order to justly get their money back. But what Proverbs tells us is they don't have a lawyer. In America, we would get a public attorney, but the poor who are oppressed by rich people just to get a little bit richer have the best lawyer available, and it is God. Not only is he the lawyer, he is also the judge, and he will take your money away. If you oppress poor people by being dishonest, by getting them so far into debt that they will never be able to get themselves out of it, God will turn you into someone who is impoverished. Now, is that going to happen every time? No. But the money that you have is not money that is a blessing. It is money that is a curse. Finally, Proverbs 23, verse 10. It says, "Don't move an ancient boundary marker. Don't encroach on the fields of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is strong, and he will take up their case against you." This is another way in the ancient world that they would rip people off. They would have boundary marks that have been set in place for a long time, which is why it calls it ancient. And it told you which field was yours and how far your field went. Well, most of us, again, are not in agriculture, but land is where you are able to plant and make money from, right? And what the warning here is, don't just move the mark that tells you where your field is and like take a foot from the poor people, from the fatherless. Don't take 2 feet. Don't take 3 feet. Don't move a boundary marker so you can make a little bit more money. And don't do that to the ones who are in poverty, the fatherless. For their Redeemer is strong, and he will take up their case against you. The first principle is we have to earn. So first, we need to work. Then we need to earn that money honestly. There are 1,042 different ways, I just made that number up, for you to earn money dishonestly. There are a whole bunch of temptations for us to gain money in ways that don't require work. Most of these schemes in order to get you rich and get a whole bunch of money quickly are dishonest ways of earning your money. Also, a lot of those ways of trying to get you to earn and get rich quick are also people who are preying on you because you feel like you are impoverished in some way, shape, or form, which is crazy to think about here in America. But they are preying on those people who think that they do not have enough money, and they are oppressing those people so that they can get rich. The Bible warns us that the money we earn ought to be earned honestly, even if it's only a little bit. Even if it doesn't seem like enough, if you can't make your ends meet, we do not go to gas stations and rob people, but we also don't dishonestly gain money by being unfair in the prices we give to people, by the amount of work we refuse to do in order to make our paycheck a little bit thicker, because if I don't work as hard, at least I'm getting paid more for less work. We do not manipulate our employer into thinking we've done more than we have. And we will not rip people off, whether they are rich or poor, because God sees, and God will take up their case. So first, the principle of money that a person who's choosing the path of wisdom must decide to earn their money honestly. So then once we've earned our money honestly, then what? Now we've got this money, so how is our relationship with this money continue? The second principle Proverbs teaches us is that we are to spend that money that we earned honestly, we are to spend that money purposefully. Not without a plan, not just on whatever looks good at the time, not whatever we feel like we deserve in the moment, but that someone who has a wise relationship with money will spend the money that they worked honestly to get, they will spend it purposefully. So back to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, 17 says that the one who loves pleasure will become a poor man. Whoever loves wine and oil will not get rich. And then Proverbs 22, verse 26. Don't be one of those who enter agreements who put up security for loans. If you have no money to pay, even your bed will be taken from under you. Here we see Proverbs teaching us that you must spend your money and use your possessions wisely and purposefully. The first warning is, if you just love to have your desires met and you're filled with pleasure and you buy the things that you want without a plan, you will never obtain wealth. Because your money will just keep going out, right? All of us have been there at one point or another. Some of us might be dealing with that right now where it's like, I got money, I worked hard for it, and now it's all gone. What happened? Where did it go? If you do not make a plan to spend it purposefully on the things that matter, it will disappear. And Proverbs 21:17 says you'll never be rich. You'll never feel like you have enough money if you choose to spend your money without purpose. You will never have enough money because if you spend things without a plan, you will always find stuff to spend money on. And if all you want to buy are the things that just make you feel good about yourself, there is never going to be an end to that either. You will never become rich. And then the warning in Proverbs 22, it says that you should not be one that enters into agreements, specifically ones that you cannot pay. Because if you don't have the money to pay, everything will be taken from under you. So a warning to us that if we do not spend our money with purpose, what will end up happening is we will have access to credit and we'll just use our credit without purpose. We will not have a plan. We'll just buy things that make us feel good. When we run out of money, then we'll just use credit and we'll buy the things that make us feel good. Of course, you're never going to end up rich if you end up going into debt. And specifically, debt that you have no way of paying. We must spend our money purposefully and use our possessions purposefully. No matter how many or how few we have, and no matter how much money we have or how little money we have, all of our money and possessions must be spent with a purpose. The Bible gives a lot of guidance on what sort of things matter in life, what sort of things you should be spending your money on. But it all boils down to the fact that you need to have a plan and a purpose. It's not just enough to work honestly and make gobs of money and then spend your money however you want. That's not how wise people relate to money. Wise people spend the money that they worked honestly for. They spend it with a purpose. For some of us, that means we need to do a budget. For those of you like me, it means that we probably need to stick to the budget. Just because you wrote one down doesn't mean it is actually doing the job. Some of us might actually have a budget, but our budget is not designed with any specific purpose except for our own enjoyment. Or so that we can gain the next big ticket item we want. Some of us have the issue of not spending our money purposefully and then getting ourselves into situations where we need to then borrow money for literally everything because we were unlike the ant that knows that winter is coming and saves up. Some of us need to understand that we need to spend even the little dollars that we get. Maybe you're only on Social Security, but all the money and possessions you have need to be spent with a purpose. And here's the deal. Your money isn't going to heaven with you. right? Heaven's coming here, and we're not all going to have the same income in heaven, but we all are expected to use our possessions in heaven wisely and for the glory of God. And so I always ask the question, why do we live life differently than what we know we're going to live life in the kingdom of heaven? So if we're going to spend what money we've been given in heaven wisely and for the glory of God, should we not then do that now? Should our budget not reflect our purpose and our understanding that the money that we have doesn't get to come with us? Now, that doesn't mean, as Proverbs teaches, that you don't have an inheritance that you can pass on. That doesn't mean that you have to spend every last dollar you've earned in your life before you die. But what it does mean is that you have a plan and you have a reason for that plan and you follow that plan. That, as Proverbs will teach you, is how you inherit, you become wealthy or have enough money that you don't feel like you need to go into foolish or evil activity in order to gain more. It will prevent you from being tempted to follow after money as the thing that matters the most in your life if you have a God-centered budget and a plan to spend the money that you have worked hard and honestly for. Then finally, the third principle that Proverbs teaches us about how wise people relate to money is that wise people who have worked hard, have spent their money purposefully, give money generously. Again, no big surprise, right? We all know that God asks for his people to understand that sometimes you need to just give some of your money and possession away to glorify God. Proverbs 19, verse 17 says it this way: kindness to the poor is a loan to the Lord, and he will give a reward to the lender. If you are a wise person, you should expect that you will have a plan to spend whatever money you have, whether it be a lot or a little, that you also will make a plan to give generously to those who might not have enough. Giving alms to the poor, to the disabled, to the widows, to the fatherless is part of the New Testament and Old Testament teachings of what people who love God do with their money. They give it away generously, and Proverbs frames it this way, that if you are kind to the poor, it is like you're loaning God money, which obviously God doesn't need your money, right? He's got enough money. But when you treat someone with kindness, God sees that and will honor the fact that you are treating someone who has no way to repay you kindly as he would treat that person. And so he will give a reward to the lender. And that might be more money, or it might just be a well done when you die. We are to give our money generously. And one of the people we can give money generously to are those who don't have a lot of money, who might need some help, who might need to learn how to earn money honestly or to spend it purposefully. Maybe they just have a health situation, but God says that wise people don't hoard their money. They give away money generously. And that would prevent us from treating like money and possessions are the things we live for here in this life, if we give away some of what God has given to us. Proverbs 21, 13 says that the one who shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will himself also call out and not be answered. The warning here is that if you are not willing to give money away generously to those who are crying out in need and you have the means in which to help them, don't be surprised if sooner or later you're going to find yourself calling out for help and no one's there to answer your call for help. We must be willing and looking for and planning to give money generously, not just to our family, not just to our friends, but to those who need help. and to people who are doing God's work who need financial support, right? There is a good correlation here that even though missionaries aren't poor people, that maybe we should be giving away some of our money generously to support them, enabling them to go to a distant land in order to preach the gospel. There's also an application to be made that giving money to the church in order to compile our money to fulfill the purpose that Jesus has left for us is a way for us to continually be reminded that money is not our God. And our money is from our God, and our money is for our God. Proverbs 22, verse 2 reminds us of a very important fact. The rich and the poor have this thing in common. The Lord made them both. Whether you are rich or you feel a little bit on the poor side, God made both of you. And there is no condemnation for someone who doesn't have a net worth in the six figures or above. There is no commendation for someone who has a net worth of seven figures or more when they go into heaven. But what is commended is found in 22 verse 9. A generous person will be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. You do not have to be rich in order to be generous. You don't even have to be middle class to be generous. You don't even have to have extra money in order to be generous. You could be a poor person with no income and no house and be a generous person. With whatever you have, you seek the good of those around you. And you understand that the things that you have are not yours to be held and hoarded up. Because God sees generous people and he blesses them. Proverbs teaches us these three important lessons and many others about money to help us choose the path of Lady Wisdom and not after Lady Folly, who calls us away and says, like, hey, here's the thing. You're poor, but you deserve a bunch of money. So we're going to get you a bunch of money by either working dishonestly or get as much enjoyment out of the little bit of money that you have. So we're just going to spend it without a plan, and you're going to keep it all for yourself. And in the end, you're going to be rich, and you can do whatever you want. But Lady Wisdom, speaking to us through Proverbs, says that's not how God designed money and possessions to work. You're to work for your money honestly. You're supposed to feel like you actually did some labor in order to be paid. And then once you've done that, knowing how hard and honestly you worked for that money, you don't let that money just disappear with little butterfly wings. You watch it. And you put it where it should go. And you also don't forget that not all of that money is there for you. God has given you some money so that you can give it generously to those who need it. The problem for a lot of us is that the American dream doesn't really require much else other than the American dream says that you should earn your money honestly. Maybe sometimes spending your money purposefully, having a budget, is part of inheriting the American dream. But the problem is we have come to listen to the voice of Lady Folly that says, hey, money is one of the top five things that matter in this life. It might not be the first one. You know, we got family, relationships, all this other stuff. But the little hiss of Satan is, money is one of your top concerns here. You need it, which is true. You want it, which is true. But the whisper is that it's yours, not God's. And that because it's yours, not God's, that God has no say in how you spend it. But a wise person is discerning and says, nah, that's not how money and possessions work. God owns it all, and he has given me some of it in order to use it wisely for his glory and to be kind and generous to those around who may, in fact, need some. And so I will plan my life accordingly. I will work hard. And if I have to work extra hard so that I am able to give generously, I will do it. If I have to cut some enjoyment, you know, as Proverbs says, those who enjoy pleasure, who want to have wine and oil, these fancy things in life, maybe I will trim out some of the things that I enjoy in this life so that I can give money away generously and purposefully. If we want to be wise people, we have to be able to say no to money and yes to God. But that does not mean we just have no money. It's hard to be on this balance beam. You got this issue of working. So you got some people who are like, well, you know, none of this money stuff matters, so I'm just not going to work. Proverbs calls them lazy and slothful. But then on the other side of the convenient balance point are the people who just work till they're dead, work their fingers to the bone. They have no personal relationships, but they've worked really hard and honestly to get the money that they have, but they just worship money because they work nonstop. We have the issue of the people in the issues of spending it purposefully, of the people who just spend the money frivolously on whatever they want, whenever they want. They don't even think about it. They just swipe the card and go on with their life and hope that they don't end up in a whole bunch of debt. But then you got people who are like so attached to their money to spend it with purpose, like that they're stingy. They won't buy anything nice eat for themselves or for anyone in their family, and they're definitely not giving money to poor people that they don't know. And then we have the issue of, do we keep and hoard it, or do we wisely invest our money and have money to be able to be passed down if that is what God would want? Money is always a challenging balancing act. But if you listen to the voice of wisdom, you will know how to answer to this temptation. I shouldn't have to work this hard for my money. That might be true, but you are to work honestly. I don't know where my money is going. Well, make a plan instead of just spending your money, because it's your money. And who can I bless with some of the extra money that God has given to me, or possessions? We can use all of the things that we have been given as stewards to be a blessing. And instead of saying, like, this is mine, I'm going to hold on to it, we should be warned that if you don't live life wisely with money, God is against you. God will take up a case of the poor person you ignored, that you had the means to help and you chose not to because I really needed my extra cup of Starbucks. God sees when you don't work honestly, even if no one ever catches you. And God is against people who are lazy, who work dishonestly. It is detestable to him. And he promises that he will not allow you to be rich. Now, you might have a lot of money, but you're not going to have money that's a blessing. And wise people hear that God says, I gave you this money for a reason. Could you use that money? Like, there is a reason for you to have this? Make a plan. Let us be known as people who are on the path of wisdom, who then choose to use the money and possessions that we've been given wisely, and not to treat money like it's a god, but that it is from God and for his glory. Dear Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the possessions that you've blessed us with. Now, some of us have very little, and some of us have a lot. And we thank you that you are wise enough to give us according to your plan. And we pray that we would learn to not worship money or possessions or things that we enjoy, but that we would worship you with our whole life, including our money. Pray that if any of us are struggling with working honestly to get our money, that the Spirit of God would convict us in the moments where we're trying to gain money dishonestly or in a way that oppresses people who have less than us. We pray that you would help us to make good plans. We're never going to make a perfect plan or a good budget, but we pray that you would help us to spend our money with purpose, to have a reason behind why we have the money that you've given to us. And then we pray that you would give us the courage, give us the faith to give away generously, to still rely on you to give us everything that we need, even if we feel like we have what we need. That you would remind our souls that this money and these possessions are yours. They're from you and they're for your glory. And we pray that we would be wise in the way that we relate to money and possessions. In Jesus' name, amen.